A few weeks ago at the Worship Associate Retreat, one of our co-chairs, Dave Anderson, led us in a fast exchange of storytelling and a getting to know one another exercise. You've all been in some circumstance like this, willing at first and then regretful soon after. First, we were asked to write down 10 things that were important to us. Necessities, identity markers, something frivolous, he said, just the first 10 things that come to mind. I'll let you get through the first couple, since I'm sure that'll be distracting. So not unlike others in the room, not unlike you all, I rattled off my relationships and identities. I added in silly things like my love of socks with sayings or funky patterns. And then one of the very last things, because I got to 9 and I just couldn't think of that 10th, and I got to 9 and assured myself that we weren't going to be reading these out loud, I wrote lightly, as if to whisper it, anger. And then right next to it, on the very same line, so as to make sure they counted as one, poetry. The practice was to cross off one of the 10 items and then share out loud with our partner what it was that we chose to remove. The line would then shift, we'd get a new partner, and we'd do it again and again and again until we heard what was impossible for us or for our partner to erase, impossible to be without. What is the essential stuff that makes up any of us? It wasn't the last on my list, but those two words, anger and remained for a long, long time. As each rotation of partnership progressed, I waited to see my pen cross through those words, but there they remained. Something deeply uncomfortable, the thing we hide away, blame for the world's despair and injustice, the feeling we can fear from others, and so of course do so when it comes up within ourselves, placed right next to that form that gives me breath and pause and prayer and beauty. I was scared that these markers of myself would be heard with concern, and maybe worse, with judgment. But this fear that I would shame something real within me, something that I have witnessed and pastored to among so many of us, something speaking and purposeful that was awake to the world, was enough to want to say them out loud and again and again. We meet today 2 days before the midterm elections. Elections that will determine American leadership in 2 of our 3 major bodies of government, and a date that for some has been spoken with desperate hope since November of 2016. And then, of course, it has grown louder over the course of the last 2 years as the civility among our statesmen has eroded and as the call for civility itself has been rightfully questioned for the sake of worth and dignity and bodily safety of one another. As your minister, I have sought answers and fixes, theology, ritual, and song, surprise to face the way of the world. I've offered honesty, reserved and reeling. I've smiled and prayed despite fearing the fear and quiet in my own heart. Today, though, I offer you poetry. And Greg graces us with poetry in song. But embedded in this hour is an anger that I believe to be sacred. Perhaps you would give it another name for the thing that is alive and speaking within you, something calling out about our places of need and places of shame and what we know to be right and what we dream for the world. It can be a beautiful exchange when that fire in our bellies grow connection rather than clip the spirit's wings for flight. We are weary. We are angry. So poetry today, but not for beauty alone. Now, before we go further into this, before Greg graces us with more music that is embedded in so many of our bones, one word for today that I know I will be asked in the line anyway, and I'll repeat it if I need to. I've said it here before. There is no such thing as the separation of church and state within the church. Moses, Jesus, Dr. King, name a prophet, name a religious leader. They were religious leaders because they took on the government. Jesus was referred to as the Son of God because Caesar was, because the emperor was. It was a threat to their dynasty, to their politics, to say, "You are not the Son of God, I am. These are my people. They are led by something greater and different than you." The political is the social. The social is the personal. The personal is the spiritual. That is different than telling you to go vote for a particular person or party, which I will never do. I have never done. I must, however, come each week in service to the ideals set out in our Unitarian Universalist principles and continue to speak about life and how it is being lived or taken away at the hand of leadership who are neither God nor of the Spirit. So yes, anger, but also poetry, because used together, it is a beautiful exchange.
Once again,
the title of today's service is The Long Haul, which is to say that what happens on Tuesday will matter, and it won't. Or in the words of Billie Holiday, the impossible will take a little while. On Wednesday, there will be winners and there will be losers. And how we conduct ourselves as either of those will matter. On Wednesday, we will still have leadership in office and in newsrooms, in pulpits and classrooms, who will utilize the weaponry of fear, but also leadership who will speak a word of truth no matter how afraid. What we do with the need to hold both of these truths will matter. And on Wednesday, people of color will still fear traffic stops. Women will still adorn themselves to be heard. Trans people will still fear using public restrooms. The trauma of pending promises will still weigh on each heart's beat of birthright citizens. Rabbis and clergy of all kind will continue to scan their houses of worship while we pray. In the words of poet Warsan Shire, later that night, I held an atlas in my lap, ran my fingers across the whole world, and whispered, "Where does it hurt?" They answered, "Everywhere, everywhere, everywhere." What we do with how it won't matter will decidedly reshape the impossible into something within some squintable vision, will somehow make sustenance for the long haul and make it feel like fuel. These are the words of Alberto Rios, A House Called Tomorrow. You are not 15 or 12 or 17. You are 100 wild centuries and 15, bringing with you in every breath and in every step everyone who has come before you, all the yous that you have been, the mother of your mothers, the fathers of your father. If someone in your family tree was trouble, 100 were not. The bad do not win, not finally, no matter how loud they are. We simply would not be here if that were so. You are made fundamentally from the good. With this knowledge, you never march alone. You are the breaking news of the century. You are the good who has come forward through it all, even if so many days feel otherwise. But think, when you as a child learn to speak, it's not that you didn't know words. It's that from the centuries you knew so many, and it's hard to choose the words that will be your own. From those centuries, we human beings bring with us the simple solutions and songs, the river bridges and star charts and song harmonies, all in service to a simple idea that we can make a house called tomorrow. What we bring finally into the new day every day is ourselves, he says. And that's all we need to start. That's everything we require to keep going. Look back only for as long as you must. Then go forward into the history you will make. Be good, then better. Write books. Cure disease. Make us proud. Make yourself proud. And those who came before you, when you hear thunder, hear it as their applause. Go out into the world and live faithfully. Bring your anger, your song, your heartbreak. Bring your vision, your desperate need. Bring your shame and your joy. Bring the reason you first heard our principles and knew you wanted a world in which they are true. Call your whole self out into this world and make it poetry. For this is the spiritual work of this day. Blessings to each of us for the long haul.
But a song we sing.